I'd like to welcome all the listeners to our 2009 Reserves podcast. Here with me we have Darren G., President and CEO of Peyto Energy Trust, Scott Robinson, our Chief Operating Officer, and Rico Espiritu, Manager of Engineering. This podcast is going to discuss our reserve report for year-end 2009, and we'll be starting with a question for Darren. We just issued a news release presenting highlights of the independent reserve report conducted by Paddock Lindstrom & Associates. From the numbers presented, our total reserves increased substantially in volume, but our proven producing reserves decreased slightly. What have we done over the last year to accomplish this?
Well, Jim, I think with only $73 million of capital investment, we weren't able to drill very many wells in 2009 or convert much of our undeveloped reserves into producing reserves. But with what we did invest, we made it count. The horizontal wells we tried proved that we could develop much of our land base that way and at a greater pace than we had previously planned. So in many ways, the activity of 2009 was really just to set us up for 2010 and future years, which is okay because the gas prices where they were, we didn't want to be bringing on a lot of new production at the time anyway. I guess, in some ways the only disappointing part was that there was a nice royalty incentive in place for 9 months of 2009, and we didn't really get started with our capital program until the fall. So we had to give up, I guess, the first 5 months of that program or so and not take advantage of it as much and capitalize it on it as much as we would have liked.
Okay. Now, our next question is for Rico. Which formations have we worked on with the horizontal wells so far? Is there any potential for us to do horizontal wells in other formations beyond those?
Well, thanks, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Let me start by saying that to date, Peyto has drilled 7 horizontal wells in the Greater Sundance area, with 5 of those wells on stream. One well is being completed as we speak, and another well waiting on completion. Of the 7 wells we have drilled, 4 have penetrated the Cardium Formation, 2 in the Willow Ridge Formation, and 1 in the Nauticune Formation. Our 2009 year-end reserves report includes 5 of these horizontal wells, 3 in the proved producing category, and 2 in the proven undeveloped category. The other 2 wells were not drilled until they started in the new year. As for potential other formations, yes, there are good opportunities for Peyto to extend the horizontal program to other zones. In fact, we hope to drill a foliar horizontal well later in the year. Other formations that have potential include the deeper Cadomin and the shallower Dunvegan Formation.
So, Rico, given the reserves added by considering horizontal well potential in the proved and probable categories by the results we've seen from a few wells, have we now accounted for all of the added value on our existing lands that is opened up by horizontal drilling?
No, not at all. The 108 horizontal well locations that Paddock Lindstrom booked in the People's Bay category represent only a fraction of the overall potential value that Peyto's existing land base offers. Many of the 108 locations, 88 to be exact, are in fact proven undeveloped locations that are either infill locations or offsetting locations of existing proven producing entities. Some of these locations are replacing vertical locations that we have identified in previous years. We have many potential locations that are currently not recognized at this time, but as we continue to find success, recognition of these values will be forthcoming.
Okay. Scott, how do our new horizontal wells impact the processing plant and gathering systems? Are there any bottlenecks or other operational considerations?
Jim, there aren't really any major facility considerations other than the fact that, as a natural progression in our growth, if we realize that some of the success that we're envisioning, we will come up against some limitations and we will need to put in additional compression or loop lines as time goes on here. But there aren't any major issues with regard to handling the production that we expect to get from our 2010 horizontal program.
Darren, we've got 4 rigs drilling right now, 2 horizontal and 2 verticals. Why are we continuing to drill vertical wells, given the success we're seeing with the horizontal ones?
Jim, I think both us and Paddock recognize that the horizontal wells are not the only way to successfully develop natural gas in the Deep Basin. We still have numerous multi-zone wells in inventory, and we still believe that the best way to develop our faulted Cardium and faulted Dunvegan formations is with vertical wellbores. We use 3D seismic, and that's been very successful. and helping us hit the faults in the most optimal position. Allows us to develop both the upper and lower sheets within the same wellbore, and sometimes even with one frac. And, you know, quite frankly, I think there will be places where the horizontal design is just not practical or the best way to go. It isn't the magic solution that solves all problems. It will have its application, and we have to be mindful of where it works and where it doesn't work. The other reality is that it's still very early with the horizontal wells that we do have. I know they look good, and they look like they're very successful and very profitable, but we do need some more production history, and we need some more results and a more scatter of results. We know there's going to be variability. There's variability with vertical well results. There should be variability with horizontal well results as well. So, you know, you might want to ask me that same question 5 years from now, and maybe I will give you a different answer then, but for now I think we still need to be cautious.
Okay. Now, I had a question, Darren, regarding the well spacing for our horizontal wells. Our verticals in some formations are allowed to be spaced at 4 per section. What are the rules for horizontal wells? What are the practical considerations above and beyond the AEUB rules?
Well, you know, Jim, the truth is that our vertical well spacing in a lot of areas has increased to 6 wells per section. And, you know, we're even considering 8 wells per section in other areas. So far, the EUB really has listened to all the technical arguments for increasing downspacing and has given us approval to proceed on those bases. As for the horizontal wells, you know, we're taking the same approach, and I think they're taking the same approach, where they're giving us approval for spacing that we can technically justify. You know, in the end, it's going to boil down to what kind of drainage we can achieve with the horizontal wells, just like it boils down to what kind of drainage we can achieve with the vertical wells. The fortunate part is that we can measure through volumetric analysis how much resource is in place and then determine based on the well performance how much each well is going to recover, and that allows us to figure out how many wells we're going to need per section to drain it. It becomes a lot more difficult if you don't have the advantage of the volumetric assessment to know how many wells you need to drain any given section.
Okay. Scott, are we seeing much of a shift in terms of the heat content and amount of liquids that our wells are producing as we move to horizontal drilling?
No, not really, Jim. The horizontal wells doesn't change anything to do with the nature of the reservoir fluids that we're producing. It would only do so in with respect to what formations we are producing. And just to reflect back on some of the differences, the Cardium is very liquids rich, and it provides a high heat content gas, whereas the Cataman and some of the deeper zones are a little leaner. As we move forward in our horizontal drilling, the overall heat content of our composite gas will depend on the complexion of wells that we drill. And at this point, we've got a fair spread of wells planned over all formations. I wouldn't expect any major change in the heat content. Perhaps it could go up slightly, given that we do have a fair number of Cardium horizontals planned initially here. But overall, I don't think it'll be a major change.
Okay. Rico, how has the producing reserve base evolved since our last reserve report? Are we seeing the declines we expected?
Well, Jim, as you know, the majority of Pages gas production comes from the liquid-rich Cardium formation. Well, that statement still holds true today. However, several years ago, you would remember that Pages shifted its focus to the deeper and leaner gas targets in the Nautiki when it had formations for a couple of years, which resulted in a slight change to the overall composition of the gas produced for those years. For 2009, however, Pages returned to its roots and refocused its attention back to the Cardium formation. This resulted in the Cardium formation accounting for approximately 62% of the total proven reserves booked for that year. Consequently, Pages gas production in 2009 was comprised mostly by the predominantly liquid-rich Cardium gas at approximately 61% at year-end, compared to approximately 55% at the beginning of the year. Now, the remaining 39% production at year-end is distributed as follows: 7% from the Cataman Formation, 14% from the Nautiki one, 2% from the Shallow Roy River, and 16% from other zones such as Valer, Woolrich, Blue Sky, Gethning, and the Viking Formation. So those percentages were similar from last year, with a slight upward take on the Cardium. The reserve distribution is similar to the production distribution, with the Cardium Formation leading the way at approximately 60% of the total producing reserves, followed by the Nautiki at 15%, Cataman at 6%, and the rest at 19%. Now, the declines are what we're expecting. However, with the new horizontal wells being in play now, and the fact that new production from horizontal wells will be added throughout the year, there could be a shift in the average decline rate this year, although it is too early to tell at this time. It is interesting to note, however, that there was actually a period in Q2 and Q3 last year where our base decline has slowed down, possibly due to an extended period of time when no new production was being added, that's enabling the mature wells to produce uninterrupted.
Okay. Now, will estimating the decline profiles for our new horizontals from last year and this year present any new challenges for us and for Paddock Lindstrom?
Well, that's a good question, Jim. And let me begin by saying that prior to 2009, Peyto had more than 680 producing entities in its portfolio, and all of them are vertical producers. By comparison, Peyto had 3 producing horizontal wells as at December 31st, 2009, and none of them had production history of more than 6 months. To complicate matters, there are not many offset horizontal well analogs in the greater Sundance area that we can draw upon to compare the performance of our horizontal wells to. So yes, predicting the production decline rates of our existing horizontal wells and those of the future wells will be difficult until such time that we reach a point where there are enough horizontal wells with production history in our database. However, we're encouraged by the early performance of our horizontal wells to date, and we're cautiously optimistic that their decline rates will continue to mimic those of the vertical wells. The corollary to this, of course, is the challenge of predicting the ultimate recoveries from these wells as well. We believe that the reserves assigned to our horizontal wells by Paddock Lindstrom are conservative, but also appropriate at this time. Ultimately, we will need to see our horizontal wells stabilize in production to be able to perform proper decline analysis on them.
Okay. Darren, how much impact are the deep drilling and other royalty incentives having with our vertical and horizontal wells? Each month in our president's report, you enumerate the drilling credit used as part of our monthly capital investment estimates. Are these more of an impact to our vertical or our horizontal wells?
I'd say at this point, the incentives are really what are allowing us to be as aggressive as we are with the horizontal wells. If we didn't have the drilling incentives that sort of boosted the profitability of each one of these investments, we would be a little more cautious at this point. We wouldn't be as aggressive. We'd want to see more production history. We'd want to see more of the ultimate economic result and the answer before we're sort of pushing ahead with this many horizontal wells this early in the program. You know, what is interesting, though, with the drill credit is that vertical drilling actually earns drill credit faster than horizontal drilling does. If you took, say, a typical vertical Cardium well, 2,200 meters deep, takes about 10 days to drill, that would earn you about 440,000 of drill credit. So if you could drill 3 of those in a month, you're, you know, over 1.2 million of drill credit in a month, whereas your typical horizontal well that we're drilling is taking close to a month to drill 3,500 meters in total length. Say that's only earning about 700,000 of credit. So the reality is that a vertical rig can probably earn credits faster than a horizontal rig can.
Okay. Scott, will drilling horizontals, especially with the possibility of drilling several from the same location, allow us to do more work through the breakup season?
We hope so. The answer to that question is complicated, but the pad drilling of multiple wells should allow us to set up with a minimal disruption moving from one well to the next. However, there are a lot of other things to consider going into breakup on road bands and other logistics, and just how the weather is. But we're gearing up this year to try to minimize the impact of breakup by drilling as many wells as we can through that period of time and using the pad philosophy to help us try to achieve that. But there are no guarantees. It'll depend on a few other factors out of our control.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that this reserve report has indicated or highlighted is that our FD&A costs seem to have made a significant drop. Is this continuing through 2010? Are verticals and horizontals impacted equally by the slowdown in drilling in Alberta?
Our program, as we look at it going into 2010, should carry on some of those same attributes. I mean, we published some of the numbers. We're expecting the find and develop cost for our new wells this year to be comparable or perhaps even better than last year. You know, there's no certainty on that. That depends on both the costs outcome and the reserve outcome for these wells. Rico's commented and Darren's commented on those in the past. We will note that the drilling activity is picking up as compared to where it was through most of last year. Whether that translates into higher service costs have yet to be seen, but if history repeats itself, there will be some pressure on the service cost side. There are some limitations to the style of rig that we're using, and some of the associated equipment maybe isn't as plentiful as that required for vertical wells, so there may be some limitations as to how many horizontals can get drilled in the province just based on the equipment availability.
Okay. Darren, I'll turn it over to you for the last question. Can you give us any ideas to where we're going from here in terms of our exploration and development plans?
Well, I think, Jim, what 2009 has really shown us, and with the success we've seen with our horizontal wells, and I guess not only our success, but a lot of other people's success as well in the Deep Basin, is that there is a lot more potential for us, I think, in the Alberta Deep Basin. There's a lot more resource there that we can, I think, unlock successfully and profitably. You know, I think we've oftentimes been asked the question, you know, are you going to branch out from the Deep Basin? Are you going to look in other basins to explore and develop natural gas? And, you know, we've usually answered that question with, well, when we're done with the Deep Basin, then we can start in with a new basin. And I think what this really shows us is we're not even close to being done with the Deep Basin. There is a ton of resource in place. We're dealing with, you know, real sandstone reservoirs as opposed to the shale source rock in some of the cases that people are hunting for. You know, we've got a lot of proven production. We know these formations. We understand how to look for them with our seismic and with our geology. We know how to explore. We know the exploration arguably can have very low risk if we do all of our homework with respect to the geology and the geophysics and the reservoir engineering. So, you know, I think we're going to be focused on the Deep Basin for a long time to come because, you know, I guess the other consideration really too is the profitability that we are able to achieve here. We've seen a lot of talk about, I think, supply cost in North America. There's been a lot of comparative analysis between different basins, people trying to figure out where is the lowest supply cost. I think with our cost structure and our performance, we can deliver some of the lowest supply cost gas in North America. And, you know, I think as long as we're on that side of the table, we're always going to be able to compete at whatever the gas price is into the future. So I think we're looking forward now at several years of prospective development on our existing land base. And, of course, you know, we're going to continue to add to that land base. We're going to continue to find new and prospective lands and, for that matter, maybe even new and prospective formations within the package that we've been exploring and developing. So we've got, I think, close to $700 million of future capital identified in our reserve report to date. So that's obviously a few years of development at our current pace, or maybe even a little accelerated pace from where we sit today. We would hope to continue to be able to increase the amount of capital we're investing because we've been able to generate some fantastic returns for our unit holders with the types of projects that we're working on. So I think it looks very good going forward for natural gas in Alberta and in the Deep Basin, and I think we can be competitive in North America and competitive in the world, for that matter.
Great. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for answering these questions, and I'd like to remind our investors to look to our website, www.peyto.com, and check out the present reports each month to see where our estimated production rate is, what our estimated capital spending is, and between that and our field activity report, it's very easy to develop a picture of what we're doing each month.